With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Kaboom!
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
In the air, everywhere. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller and Danny G Radio, who is on assignment today, not with us on today's pod, as we kick off the weekend because, hey, 4 hours a night on the overnight, clearly not enough. And this podcast available wherever you have found the podcast and pretty much everywhere on the iHeart Podcast Network. You knew all that stuff. And we'll get the Komodo dragon out of the room as we begin the pod. Well, why are you doing the podcast, but you didn't do the overnight show? Yeah. So I was away from my post, and some of you went batshit crazy because I was away from my post for a couple of nights here doing the family thing. I had a family assignment, but it's only a couple of nights, and I still am doing the podcast. The podcast is easier to do because it's not in the middle of the night. I'm not tied down somewhere where people are sleeping and all that. I can do the podcast when a more proper time to enjoy audio content and to do audio content, which is just terrific. So we're doing the podcast. I'll have the pod all weekend. Obviously, today is it's the 12th day of April, and I am celebrating a teeny bit National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day, which is always a big day in the house. There are a few things better than a well-made, crispy cheese melted on top of the bread. Outstanding. A National Grilled Cheese Day. And occasionally you can mix it up. Now, at what point does it not become a grilled cheese? Is that A, when you put like a little pastrami in there, then it's no longer a grilled cheese, but it's mostly a grilled cheese. It's just a little pastrami. You can put any kind of meat you want in there, but I'm a big grilled cheese guy. Big grilled cheese guy. Love it. It's also Big Win Day today, so that's always a exciting day on the 12th of April. Who comes up with this crap? Well, on today's podcast, we will have a Maller film review. That's right, a Maller film review. Just the content you've been looking forward to. Also, we'll have the phrase of the week as well, and whatever else pops up on the pod. But we begin with this. So I got tipped off a couple weeks back. Some of my radio minions were like, hey, did you hear there's this documentary about a radio guy? And I was like, oh, really? I didn't think they made documentaries about radio guys anymore. It's all about those cool podcasters, right? Everyone wants to be a podcaster. But sure enough, I heard a little more about it, and then I had to track it down. Now, the documentary, let's see if you can figure out who it's about. This is not a dead giveaway at all, right? Not a dead giveaway at all. The documentary is called Henry. Who could that possibly be about? Who could that possibly be about? A documentary named Henry. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, well, it turns out that is a dead giveaway. So this thing just came out. At least I just became aware of it. And it is a documentary that tracks the career of a Hall of Famer in radio, Phil Hendry. As it's described in the bio for the film, a radio genius whose satirical brilliance reshaped comedy. And then they brought in a bunch of these real heavyweights in Hollywood, like Judd Apatow and people on that line. There's some one of the people from The Simpsons who were fans of Phil Hendry, like liked Phil Hendry. And then they had Phil was in there as well. And it went behind the microphone, the impact of the Phil Hendry show. It's a documentary. It ran for like an hour and a half, a little over an hour and a half. So I found out about it, and I was like, well, I want to get it. And how do you get it? And then you're like, well, it wasn't streaming that many places. It was on Amazon Prime for like $5. And since I'm in radio, I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that. So then I started snooping around. I was like, well, how can I watch it without having to pay the $5? And I found this weird app on my dive into the dark web. And I came across this thing called, let me find it on my phone here. Just bear with me. It's called Hoopla. Never heard of that. It is a app through your local library. And you can watch documentaries, TV shows, audio books for free. You gotta have a library card. No, I don't have a library card. So I had to pivot. And I had to find one. I could have signed up, and that would have been easy to do online and all that. But I was like, I'm not going to use it. My wife, though, she of course, loves the books, all about the books and all that. And so she was able to track down the library card, which then allowed me to get on said app. Well, originally it was the website. I was on the website watching it. I had to save it, but then you had to come back after midnight because only a certain number of people could get it, and there was a lot of hoops you had to jump through. But I was like, hey, it's free. I'll save $5. Why not? That'll buy like one chicken nugget or something like that when I'm out to eat. So I go on the website. I type in the passcode, library card, wife's information, and I get to the thing. It's like, all right, you've saved the Hendry documentary. I'm like, all right, hallelujah. I have saved the Hendry documentary. I'm ready to go. So then I click to watch it, and it's like, well, no, you can't watch it on this device. It's only available. You have to download our app. And so I'm like, oh, well, this is a pain in the ass. But I wanted to watch it. I was motivated because I appreciate radio people because this is my professional career, what I've done my entire adult life. And so I downloaded the stupid app, and then I was like, all right, well, just connect it from the app to the big TV, right? You do that phone to TV thing, and you can send the stream, and you can watch it on your television, and it's just like you're watching it the regular way, and that's how you do it. And so then I kept clicking on it, and the thing wouldn't work. And so I was like, oh, I'm futzing around with it. I'm like, what the hell? And I just would not work. I could not get the documentary. I was like, well, how stupid are the people behind this app? Wouldn't you think the whole point of it is for people to enjoy the content they're getting from their tax dollars that are going to subsidize the library and they would like to watch on their television, but it wouldn't work. Now, maybe it was a user error. It's possible, right? That something I did not resonate with the phone and the TV. But either way, it did not work. And so I ended up having to watch this thing on my phone, but I enjoyed it. In fact, I liked it so much, I actually watched it a couple of times. And so now it is the Maller Film Review for Hendry, the documentary. Now, I should start out, first of all, with the fact that you might not know who Phil Hendry is. Like, I know who Phil Hendry is because I've worked in radio. I actually met Phil Hendry a couple of times. More on that later in this podcast. So I know the act. He was a big star in radio in the late 90s, early 2000s. In fact, right around the time that I came to Fox Sports Radio launched, Phil Hendry was nationally syndicated at the Premier Networks, which is where I work. Fox Sports Radio is a part of the Premier Radio Networks. It was the Premier Radio Networks. Now it's just Premier Networks. They got rid of the radio. And Phil was doing a syndicated show at night, and his whole shtick is he is the host, he is the guest, and he just has this amazing ability of sashaying his way through a steeplechase on a nightly basis, and he's able to hornswoggle the listeners, and it's great. It's if you get it, it's great. If you don't get it, it's ridiculous. And there was a point I didn't really get the Phil Hendry show. He started out, when I first heard him, he was on KFI in Los Angeles, big news talk station. And I was like, oh, this is kind of stupid. And then the more I listened, and I was doing radio at the time, and I realized what he was doing and how he was using the people that call the show as putty, I thought, well, that's pretty good. So that was my my first run-in with Phil Hendry, is that I knew of him at KFI in L.A., and then I worked at Premiere, and he had a syndicated show at Premiere, so our paths crossed a couple of times. But he was doing satire. He was doing satire of talk radio, which I have been accused of doing when I talk to Marcel in Brooklyn or Cowboy in Windsor or some of the other characters that call the show. The only difference between me and Phil Hendry is I am not doing impersonations. They're real. They are real. They call in. They find me. I am not the one that is doing the voice, right? Now, I might bust the balls. I do that a lot, right? I like to bust balls, right, and all that. But I'm not the one that is on the other side of the phone. Phil was the person on the other side of the phone as the guest, and he created all these Fugazi characters. But his story, if you watch the documentary, I don't want to give the whole thing away, but I do recommend it. Help another radio guy out. Now, Phil's going to get some credit, even though I'm a tightwad and I went through the library to watch the documentary. You can either just cut out the middleman, watch it on Amazon. I'm sure there'll be some other ways, the way these things work down the line. If you're hell-bent on getting the documentary for cheaper, you probably get it cheaper down the line and all that. But I already watched it. I don't think you can get cheaper than free. And so it was fascinating, as someone that has worked in the business a long time. Phil started out as a DJ, a regular disc jockey on music radio for 17 years. This guy was your generic radio DJ and just did the normal radio crap. And there was video of him as a DJ at KLSX here in Los Angeles, 97.1, which was a music station for a long time. It became a talk station, and now it's a news talk station. But Phil was there when it was a music station as just a generic, boring-ass DJ. And he said in the documentary that he had a midlife crisis. He wanted to do talk radio. One of the inspirations was Rush Limbaugh, of all people. That was about the time when he decided, early 90s, Hendry in the documentary talks about how he decided, hey, I want to go that direction because I'm tired of playing music I hate, and I don't even get to pick the music, and it stinks and all that stuff. And I would like to use my personality. And so he decided to get into talk radio, but Rush Limbaugh was one of his inspirations because Rush, at that time, was blowing up and was coming the voice, most listened to guy in news talk radio and a lightning rod and all that, and wasn't under control like a DJ had to be. When you're a DJ, you have to be under control. And so anyway, Hendry said, I'm going to do it. And he got a couple of weekend shows at KFI, ironically enough, where he would end up, and just did boring, generic news talk radio, which I didn't hear any of it, but they said in the documentary it was just bad. You know, he was doing radio, talk radio, the way he thought talk radio needed to be. Anyway, he got laid off from that job, or fired, however you want to say it. It was such a snooze that he lost the gig. And then he ended up getting a job middays just north of L.A. proper in Ventura. In Ventura, which is north of L.A. Some of the people that work at Fox Sports Radio live in Ventura. It's that close to the San Fernando Valley studios of Fox Sports Radio. And so he went out there, and that's where he was in his own element. And he just used his mind and created what became his life's work. All these dopey characters were part of his little neighborhood on the Phil Hendry show. And he talked about how that work, the creative process behind it. So if you're really into Phil Hendry, it's great. I knew a little bit about him, like I said, but it's kind of cool to learn the ancient art of broadcasting. So they talked about his time there, and very controversial, because as I have noticed from my work in radio and my years of doing the overnight show, there is a percentage, and I'm not sure what percentage it is, it might be 20%, might be 10%, maybe it's only 5%, that do not get the sarcasm, that don't get the bit, they're not in on it, they're completely beguiled by the bit, right? They just, to them, it's a turd in the punch bowl, and they are just very upset that this voice on the radio is mocking whatever they're mocking. In this case, Phil Hendry was mocking the very medium of talk radio, and so those people are very boisterous. They're upset and they scream and shout and yell and they go lightning and thunder and all that. And so Phil Hendry had to deal with this at this little small station in Southern California that didn't have a very big transmitter. And back in those days, you couldn't listen to radio on an audio device like a phone. You had to listen on the old radio, like the old radio station. That was it. You couldn't hear anything other than the transmitter. And so he created this show, and the show did very well, according to the documentary, but there were the haters. And so the people that ran the radio station didn't know quite how to deal with this, but he had good ratings, and so that's important. He was tearing up the dance floor, if you will, behind the microphone, and the ratings were coming in, and he was doing very well, so that was great. And so eventually he moved on. He just said, well, I want to go to a bigger place, and I want to create this into something bigger than it is. And the jibber jabber continued. He got a job in Atlanta. They talked about his time in Atlanta. Not a good fit. Worked in Minneapolis. And these are at big heritage news talk stations. And when the term heritage is, it's like a blue blood. They've been around forever. They have a built-in audience. There's a certain pedigree of the listener to these type of operations. And so Phil Hendry was not a fit because, again, by his own admission, he was mocking the very medium that he was working on, and they talked about that, and he was beaming with pride how he was doing it, and he was very good at it. But when you're dropped in to one of these stations, it's kind of like showing up. The analogy I will use, it's like showing up to Yankee Stadium, putting on the pinstripes, and you've got rainbow hair and a bunch of piercings in your nose, and you've got a beard that looks like you're from a 1980s metal band. Wouldn't fit, right? Wouldn't fit. That's the Yankees. That's the iconic New York Yankees. You have to have your facial hair trimmed, and you have to be prim and proper, because that's what the Yankees do. And if not, you can blow it out, right? And blow it out your tuchus. And so anyway, that was what Hendry did to talk radio. So anyway, bounced around, didn't work in Atlanta, got fired, went to Minnesota, kind of worked, and then a guy that fired him in Atlanta, or helped his dismissal in Atlanta, hired him for Miami, and that is where things really took off for him in Miami and the Phil Hendry show. And keep in mind, that can't really happen now, that this career path that Phil Hendry went on is all but impossible in modern radio, because there's not enough local programming. And there's not enough people willing to pay for you to relocate the difference. You would have to pay your own moving expenses to move around. There was a point when I remember when I went to school at Saddleback to learn about radio. And they put up one of the things we did in class. They had this DJ, and I forget the guy's name, and I apologize. But they talked about this DJ who had written some book about his life in radio. And this guy was like a military brat. He had lived, and I'm not exaggerating here, it was like 25 or 26 cities. And he was a middle-aged dude. He started in radio when, around the age I started. I started in radio when I was 19. Danny started, he's not here today, but Danny started when he was younger, a little younger than me. But we were kids, right? We were teenagers starting in radio. And so at that time, you could start out at 18 or 19. And move on up to a penthouse on the Upper East Side and work your way up and create the magic and all that and move from city to city. And there's another old radio guy who we've had on the podcast, Ken Levine. And he's also talked about that experience where he was a DJ and you could work at different radio stations and move up. But you really can't do that anymore. Anyway, so Hendry did it. He went to Miami. Show did very well in Miami. And then he ended up getting a gig back in Los Angeles at the station that had gotten rid of him originally at KFI in LA. So he's come full circle. And then he gets a syndication deal with Premiere. So not only is he doing the night show locally in LA, but now it's a syndicated show. And moving on in the review, the Mahler film review of the documentary, this one hit a little close to home. If you watch this documentary, they interviewed the program director of KFI, as they used to say back in Howard Stern's days, pig vomit, the pig vomit of KFI. And his name was David G. Hall, still is. Fun fact for you. I and Phil Hendry have something in common. I, Phil Hendry, and Tom Likas have something in common. Tom Likas, a radio legend back in the day, who's out of the business now, as far as I know. But Phil Hendry, Tom Likas, and me all were fired by David G. Hall. We all got let go by David G. Hall. And it was odd. It was odd seeing him on the documentary.
You're fired.
And he was in there several times. Bill Handel, who's a very talented broadcaster himself, who also used to make fat jokes at me when I worked across the hall near KFI back in the old days. But he was there. Phil Handel, his Handel on the Law, which is syndicated by the Premier Networks. You might hear that occasionally on the weekend. So it was odd seeing some people that I knew in the documentary who were very loud and proud. Hendry came back to LA, got the syndicate show, and they were pointing out one of the blessings and the curse. It's a double-edged sword about Phil Hendry. Those that worshipped him didn't have a problem with Phil Hendry. Obviously, a lot of people didn't. I said the percentage, maybe 20%, maybe 10, maybe only 5. But a certain percentage of people that listen to radio content, audio content, just it goes right over their head. Right? They don't understand that there's a gag. Even though Hendry legally had to announce at the beginning of every hour that this is satire, these are not real people, and all that. And yet people tune in. The show starts, as we say in radio, the show starts when you turn the show on. We do a four-hour show at night on the radio. The Ben Maller Show, with my name on it, is 4 hours. But a lot of people will either tune in for 20 minutes at the beginning of the show, or maybe you're getting up early to get a jump on the traffic. We get do very well. We have more people listening the last hour of the show than the first hour of the show, because up and down the Eastern Seaboard, in the I-95 corridor, as we like to call it, on all the big East Coast affiliates, people are getting up and trying to beat the traffic, and they're running out of their house, and they turn on the show. Maybe they turn it on at like 5:20 in the morning or 5:30, and they listen for half an hour, and that's it, and that's great. So that's all they hear. They don't hear what happened 3 hours earlier, 2 hours earlier, an hour earlier. So the show starts when you turn it on, and that's giving a disclaimer at the beginning. Legally, it allows you to get out of trouble, but it does not prevent the knuckleheads from calling up and screaming and shouting and all that. So Phil became syndicated, and as it was pointed out, every affiliate that he went on, it became a nightmare. It was death by 1,000 affiliates, or in this case, 500 affiliates, because every radio station Phil would go on, the same process would start over, where people were a little off balance there. They were bobbing and weaving with the show. They didn't know what was going on. And so it was endless complaints, and you blow, you suck, you're terrible, and all that. And so there was this upsurge, right, in this talkzilla, this monster, this fire-breathing monster from Phil Hendry and his show. And so that was a problem. But here's, and you'll learn this in the documentary, and again, I'm probably going too far into it, but trust me, the documentary is better than me recapping the documentary on this Mahler podcast edition, the fifth hour review of the Hendry documentary. But there was one point that was the point of demarcation, I'll call it, for the Phil Hendry show. And it was something that affected me and what I did and everyone in radio, because we were essentially told to shut the F up. Shut the F up because of a booby. That's right, a booby. If you remember Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake at halftime of the Super Bowl, they were performing, and we had the wardrobe malfunction heard round the world. Who knew that a nipple would cause corporate broadcasting to lose their minds? But that's exactly what happened. And it was it touched close to home because I know what I had to deal with at the time, and I'm a small time player, right? I'm not a big time player. I'm a small time player, especially at that time. And so, okay, fine. There was a lot of uproar. And Henry pretty much said that was the beginning of the end of his show as the boss of Premiere and one of the coolest people. I don't know anyone that has ever said anything bad about this guy. His name is Craig Kitchen. He's now an agent, but he ran the Premiere radio networks. When I started, he was the guy that had one rule I mentioned a while back on the show this week. I think I mentioned it, that his one rule was no popcorn because he did not like the smell of burned popcorn. That would just stay. But Craig Kitchen went to Washington, D.C. with a bunch of other radio muckety mucks, and they all went to D.C. after Janet Jackson showed her nipple, the nip slip, because they were worried about the FCC dragging all of their radio stations down. All right, so they were like, all right, we're going to go, and we're going to say, all right, we're not. And Phil Hendry, as he pointed out in the documentary, like, well, this is a television thing. This is not a radio. We can have, and this is my line, not his line, we can show nipples all we want in radio. We're allowed to show nipples because you can't see them. It's radio. Hello, it's radio. But anyway, there was the shock jock, the over-the-top shock jock that was – a lot of ripoffs of Howard Stern, who also, there was some B-roll on Stern in this. A number of radio legends, the Grease Man from D.C. There was a big radio guy in Miami that was prominently mentioned in this as well. I mean, there's some heavy hitters. If you're a radio nerd, this documentary is great. Anyway, get to the point. So Phil Hendry, the way he relayed the story, this guy Craig Kitchen, our boss, went to D.C. to meet with the FCC, and then they had to come back and edit a bunch of stuff. And it was a big to-do, right? Big to-do and all that. And they had to bleep some things. And that really was the beginning of the end. As Phil said, he had reached the pinnacle of broadcasting, and it was supposed to be fun, and it wasn't that much fun, right? Because there's a lot of micromanaging that goes on when you get to that level, especially with a show like that. And the other thing is the advertisers. You know, in my experience, often the people that have no sense of humor are advertisers. They're so paranoid. They're so over the top, freaking out over one person complaining that they don't have any wiggle room for humor because they are afraid that someone might take it the wrong way. When I think as an advertiser, if you can get people laughing and make your product part of the show, whatever show that is, you're killing it, right? You're absolutely killing it. That's great for the sponsor. It just becomes a part of the experience. Anyway, long story short, documentary, which just came out, Hendry, I'll give it on the Mueller report card. I'll give it a solid, give it an A minus. I'm not going to go A plus. I'll give it an A minus. But if you got to be into radio. If you're not into radio, if you don't know who Phil Hendry is, that's fine. But if you're into radio, that's great. And audio content and all that. I guess Phil's still doing a podcast where he's just doing his characters and all that. And, so anyway, check that out. It is available right now. Again, Amazon streaming and some other places. We should try to probably get Phil on the show. I wonder if Phil would do it. I think Phil would come on. I met Phil a couple times. Typical radio guy. I'm an introvert. He seemed like an introvert. I didn't really talk to him much. It was at one of the holiday parties, the Premiere holiday parties. And so I recall he was there, and there were some heavy hitters. Art Bell, the legend, Dr. Laura was a huge star at that time. Jim Rome, Matt Drudge. I mean, these were some big-time players. And one of the bosses was trying to show off, and he was introducing me to all these people, you know, because it was like a major flex for the boss. Like, hey, you look who I know, you know, and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. You know, I'm a radio nerd, so why not? So anyway, check that out. Before we get out of here, on this Friday edition of the Fifth Hour, time now for the phrase of the week. The phrase of the week. This one, by request, a important media mogul, by request, asking for the origin of Punch and Judy hitter. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Punch and Judy, this is an old baseball colloquial term as we're into the baseball term portion of the show. We did two baseball terms last weekend on the pod. This one, Punch and Judy, is actually a reference. This is very odd. This is a baseball term, but it is a reference to a puppet show from Italy in the 16th century that didn't really get embraced until it went to the United Kingdom. So we're going back hundreds and hundreds of years. Who goofed? I've got to know. So Punch and Judy Hitter, a famous, we are told, Marinette performance that did begin in Italy back in the day, but became popular in the UK years later. And the popularity, though, it went down because of some controversial themes, including Punch's infamous tendency to pound the heck out of his wife, to beat up his wife as part of the Marinette show. So a Punch and Judy Hitter, it's a baseball term, to my knowledge, does not involve anything to do with domestic violence. A Punch and Judy Hitter in baseball, it's kind of a slap hitter, right? Banjo hitter, you're a Punch and Judy hitter, you're a banjo hitter. You don't have a good exit velocity. You don't have good exit velocity, hit the ball kind of soft, but you find ways to get the ball through the infield and past the infield and in front of the outfield and all that. And so it's a banjo hitter. And that plunk twang, the puppet held the bat very awkwardly, and that led to Punch and Judy being a hitter, has a poor batting stance and is a banjo hitter, doesn't have good exit velocity, but is able to hit. So a baseball term that goes all the way back, way before baseball, to Italiano in the 16th century, Punch and Judy hitter. Have a wonderful rest of your day today. Enjoy your weekend as we slide on in here. We'll have new pods all weekend long here on the fifth hour. Danny is scheduled to be with me tomorrow. He is on assignment today, but he should be back tomorrow. We'll have a fresh weekend of pods, and we will catch you next time. And as Danny would say if he was here, hasta pasta.
Got a murder, gotta go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.